welcome to Content Management for Small Business. My name is Heidi Richards-Mooney, founder of Women in E-Commerce and publisher of We Magazine for Women. Let me tell you a little bit about this session. In this free internet marketing session, Vanessa will be sharing strategies on how to find, create, and use content to effectively market your website. She will share the most popular content management systems, or CMS as they're called, what a content management system can and cannot do, and why a company should consider using one. She will also share the do's and don'ts of content management, content creation, using content to drive traffic to our site, social media, and content management, and more. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. A graduate of the University of Southern California, Vanessa Torres began her career as an entertainment journalist in Los Angeles. Then, in the early 2008, Vanessa started her own consulting practice, helping small businesses and startups create or reevaluate their online presence. Often acting as translator between a client and a developer, Vanessa helps ensure a smooth development phase and an accurate understanding of the creative process. She also assists clients with developing and incorporating a social media strategy into their overall marketing campaign. As a writer, author, blogger, content manager, and journalist, Vanessa has been able to adapt her skills to a variety of mediums. She currently manages her own blog for single women called The Happened to Me, and I know we're going to hear more about that, and contributes to several other blogs and websites. She has spoken to various professional groups about how to use social media for their business clients and facilitated networking events for women business owners in L.A. In addition, Vanessa has worked exclusively with UNICEF, traveling to Africa and with the organization in 2004 on a trip that was featured by Marie Claire magazine, as well as the Red Cross, assisting with their efforts in Houston, Texas, following Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Please help me welcome Vanessa. Yay, Vanessa. Thank you for being
here. Wow, thanks, Heidi. That was a great introduction.
Well, thank you very much. I sometimes read well. I'm not sure how well I did there, but I do have questions about your blog. Did I say that correctly?
It's actually That Happened to Me.
Wow. That Happened to Me.
That Happened to Me, yeah, which kind of leaves it up to whatever that is that did happen to you. A lot of people, everybody has a certain experience. And so that name to me kind of puts out there, you know, to share whatever it is, whatever your experience is. No two experiences are alike. So that's where I got that name from.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, I think that what's beautiful about it, you're obviously specifically targeting single women. And single women, just like married women or women with children, have issues similar, so they can relate. And I think that's a wonderful entree into talking about content because, you know, if you think about content in the big scope of things, people tend to start off with content, and forgive me if I'm wrong or correct me if I'm wrong, all over the place, not sure how to create content or what kind of content or how to target it. So I think it's wonderful. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, can you let's just talk a little bit about what a content management system is, because I think we want to really have people understand what that means before we get into the how-tos.
Okay. Well, simply, a content management system is any platform on which you run your website, basically. When you go to somebody's website, a small business, for example, hopefully what you're looking at is a very lovely, well-designed, functional website. The average user, when they go there, has no clue how that site was actually built. They can't see the back end. They don't have knowledge, as to how this person or their web developer designer built this website. And the content management system is indeed the literal way that that site gets fresh content, gets updated, basically has all of the information that you see there, how it's managed. So there are different platforms, and the layperson won't know what's what just by going to a site and visiting it. Hence, having the background knowledge that we're going to talk about today comes in handy.
Excellent. And I think that that explains it very well. So what are the benefits? And you've obviously shared some. What are some of the benefits of using a CMS? And then why do I need one? Need a content management?
Well, I mean, for several reasons. So for a small business, I think one of the reasons it's most important is that you're not relying on an IT person, a web developer, or some third-party company to make adjustments or changes to your site. Ultimately, to me, that's the biggest reason to have one. You want to be in as much control of your content as possible. That's first and foremost. Secondly, simply for budgetary reasons, you don't want to have to pay somebody by the hour to make changes to your website if you can do it yourself. Right there are two huge enough reasons that I would suggest everybody have a content management system. It doesn't allow you to change design elements as much. You can tweak certain things, but you're not going to be able to go in on a Tuesday and say, I feel like making my whole site blue. That's not what a content management system is for. A content management system is to do just that, and adjust the content, the words, the images, video that you want on your site, and to make that fluid process that you can change as often as you'd like to.
And I so agree. So, of course, that's obviously the number one reason we need this. I've been working with a couple of clients. I do web strategy. I don't do design or anything. The problem with when you work with people who've already got their websites up, if they're beholden to their web person and they can't even go in and make minor changes, it just drives me crazy.
Exactly. And even if they have – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Even if they have a good relationship with that person, it can still, you know, the time lapse in which it would take to get something done could be anywhere from 24 hours to a week. Okay. And you don't want to be in that position. Time is of the essence in business and sales and online. And you just don't want to have to go through that process of emailing a help desk or having to call your developer and asking to make these changes. And depending on where he is in his day or his week, you know, you kind of fall within that timeline. So really, I mean, you want to, again, as I always say, be in as much control of your online properties as you can be. And using a system allows you to basically do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Excellent. So then what are some of the most popular content management systems, Vanessa, and how do they compare, say, benefits-wise and costs, for instance?
There are several. I would say there's the top three that most small business websites are built on right now. One of them is something called Joomla, which is Joomla. The second is Drupal, which is Drupal. I know they're funny names. And the third, which is very popular, it's the one that I use, is WordPress. There's also something called Blogger, which a lot of bloggers do use. I don't love it as much just because it doesn't look as nice, if that's, you know, just to put it in the simplest terms possible. But those three are probably the most popular. And the best thing is they're all free.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's no reason why. I mean, the biggest challenge you have in using a content management system is just learning it. If you have no background, the learning curve will be, you know, a little bit of a challenge. If you have some background, like you used to use WordPress and now you're going to move to Joomla for whatever reason, it'll be slightly easier because you're just more familiar with the way these things work. But basically, it depends on what your business is exactly and the functionality that you're going to need. And I would say, you know, spending half a day just researching each one should allow you to pick the one that's best for you.
Absolutely. And I actually have used Joomla, and, of course, WordPress is my favorite, so I think that you're absolutely right. Because it's so much more expensive and harder for someone to go in and actually build that portion of a website if they've done it through coding and all of that. So those
Oh, exactly.
I'm working with and advise people. I just think it's crazy what they do. So, and that's what you do. So obviously you help your clients in you know, making good choices before they've made the wrong choice, I guess.
And really, it's so important. It's so important to think about these things before you create your site. I know in a perfect world, we all would have done that research. But so many people launch businesses and they're using friends and family members, and so-and-so's cousin's going to help me build a site, or, you know, my former coworker is a graphic designer, and she's going to build my site. And it all sounds great at the time because you barely have any money, and this way just get something up there. And that's great, you know. However, in 6 months or a year, when you really have your ball rolling and you're really making some headway and you want to add a page or you want to add a blog or you want to add a shopping cart, you're not going to be able to because your site wasn't built the right way to begin with. And oftentimes the people who are building your site know this, and they're just not sharing it with you. Sometimes, especially when you're using a friend or a family member, they don't know this, and they just want to help you. But this is why I always tell people, don't try to save money on this in the beginning. Really, really take your budget and use it to create the right kind of website for your business and a scalable website for your business, because in 12 or 24 months, you're going to be looking at a complete redesign in order to even get up to speed. So, and I hate to see people go through that.
Exactly. So then what are some of the questions that they would probably want to ask a developer so that they get the right thing in the first place? For instance, you know, how they're going to create the site. And you know, most people don't know I call it nomenclature, but the common wording that we use to work with these professionals.
Right.
I don't know anything about coding. So I will first say that I am, and I have a lot of admiration for web developers because they can make something out of nothing. But when you're talking, if you want, like you said, for control, unless we're a Coca-Cola or a Dell or one of those big companies that they pay somebody to do that full time and they can afford to, for the small business person, as you said, you really need to maintain as much control over your information on the internet as possible. So what are some of those questions, Vanessa?
I would just start out, first of all, try to be as clear when you have a meeting for the first time with a developer or designer. Try to be very clear about what it is you need. And a lot of people aren't. They simply come in and say, I like these other sites, and that's what I want my site to do, which is not the right way to go about it. Be very clear. Think about the number of pages you'll want. And by number of pages, I mean, do you want an About Us page? Do you want a blog page? Do you need a separate contact page? Do you need a testimonials page? Think about all of these things and draw yourself out a little site map. I mean, it may not be the most professional, but it doesn't matter. As long as it's something that you can reference off of, that's what you need. Think about what you want your site to do. Are you going to be selling items from your site? Maybe not right this moment, but is that what you want for the future? Are you going to be linking your social media pages to your site? Think about as much as you possibly can before you have that first meeting, and then go in and explain. Don't worry about the right language. They don't expect you to know the right language. Go in and explain, this is what I'm looking for. And then simply ask them, what content management system do you use? And see what they tell you. They should be very open and upfront about that. And then you can say, you know, well, if you use these three, what do you think will work best for me and my site? And take notes. Take the notes. Don't worry about asking them to repeat themselves. A lot of the stuff they're going to tell you is very overwhelming. But that's really you. The business owner has the responsibility to go in and know what they're asking for. And then don't be afraid to ask them questions when they do provide information. And that's something, again, that's why I do what I do, is there is sometimes a little translation that needs to happen because these two people don't speak the same language all the time. And it's not just only in that initial meeting, but you'll have this relationship with this person for months, if not years to come. So it is important to pick someone that you feel communicates well with you, has some patience, and is reachable, because there will only be, during your development phase, there will be a lot of questions, there'll be a lot of back and forth. They should be providing you more than one comp when they show you, you know, a design. After you've had a few meetings and you said, okay, this is what it's going to be, this is a logo, blah, 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 they should then come back to you and provide at least two comps for you to look at and choose between. Sometimes more, sometimes we'll do three. To ask for a lot more than that is not necessarily right either, but you should have a little bit of a choice in what you're looking at. And then ask them to explain what content management they chose and why, and then built into the cost should also be a training period where they walk you through the process of how to update content, how to make changes, and also provide for you a number that you can call if you are within that content management system and having trouble.
Absolutely. I just synced one of my sites, Women in E-commerce, over to Joomla, and I didn't know anything about Joomla. I'm a WordPress gal, so I didn't know anything about it. And, wow, there is a little bit of a learning curve. So tell the listeners how difficult you think, or how difficult is it to learn a content management system?
You know, like anything, it's hard at first, you know, and it depends on your skill level on the web in general, and your comfort level. All of these things seem weird at first. When I first started with WordPress, you know, I'd been working in the web for 5 years, but I hadn't used WordPress yet. So for me, you know, it took some time to kind of go through it and play with the buttons and see what happened. And, you know, you'll get it. And it just allow yourself that time. And that's another thing. Build that time into your launch, the time that you're going to use to play around with the site and figure out and get comfortable with, you know, what you're doing. Because you want to kind of work out those kinks before you start driving traffic. You don't want people coming while you're, quote unquote, experimenting with content. So I would say that depending on your skill level and your comfort level on the web, it could take someone anywhere from a day to a week. And just know yourself and allow for that time within your calendar of your launch date. Allow that time for you to get familiar with your own site.
Got it. So then what are some of the do's and don'ts of content management, Vanessa? I know you've alluded to some of them, but...
Do's and don'ts. You know, there's not a lot of don'ts. It really depends on, I really encourage people to be themselves online, to really figure out who they are, who the voice of their brand is, you know, what that is, and just go with it and then make sure you stay consistent. One of the worst things I see is people who say, oh, my site's moderated by myself, my husband, my kid, you know, and everybody kind of goes there and posts. And there's not a consistent voice to the site. I actually think that's a big no-no. Don't do that. You know, choose one or two people that you trust, obviously, because, again, once you're going ahead and giving passwords to get into the back end of your site, you're also inviting trouble. So select one or two people. If you have a personal assistant, if you have a virtual assistant, somebody that you trust that not only knows your product and your business, but writes well, writes professionally, and can maintain the voice of your brand. And then come up with a plan. Are we going to post? Are we going to refresh the content once a day, once a week, once a month? And just stay consistent with that. That's in a nutshell, that's the, you know, the best advice I can offer. Don't steal content, which I know we may get to down the line. As far as just literally with the functionality of your CMS, play with it, figure out what you're doing and what's happening. It'll teach you not to delete things that you didn't want to delete, or, you know, add things that you don't want made public. Play with that and then make sure that you know who is doing the content updates on your site and that they're clear on the kind of updates you want and the time frame that you want them on. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
No, absolutely, and I think that's important. I mean, sometimes, you know, because so many of us, and myself included, I'm learning this as I go, and I have in the last few years, but I can remember a day when I didn't know anything, and I didn't even know the proper questions to ask. And I think that number one is knowing which questions to ask, because even when you hire someone like you, for instance, to be a media intermediary or an advisor on strategy, even you will know the questions to ask, but you know, if the people know the questions to ask you to then ask the developer, it also helps a lot because we become more, I think knowledge is power. And when you
absolutely
the process of what you're doing for your website, what your website can do for you, you're more involved in the outcome from a more of a personal perspective. You're not just involved by because you're giving money to someone, they're designing it, and then they're letting you do it. I'll give you an example. I was working with a woman, I'm still working with her, who I asked her website developer to create a blog on the website for my client because I was going to maintain her blog. So they created a blog off the website, a blog spot. And I said, that's not what we asked for. That's not what I advised my client. That's not what she asked for, but they didn't read the whole thing, and they created that. So now we're going back and forth. And I said, that's because we're absolutely no good on her website. Yeah, a link back is fine, but the benefit of the blog itself and the RSS, all that juice is going to go to her website as opposed to a blog that now they've got to click on to go to her website. That's so stupid. And this is
right.
A developer who created it that she can't even get.
Hello, I think I lost you.
Over content. Hello?
Yes, sorry. We fell out for a moment, but we're back.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry about that. So anyway, I think what you're saying is that if you know these things and you know the do's and don'ts, at least that can get people moving in the right direction. Because like you said, 12 or 24 months from now, they're going to be making changes. And why should they have to make major changes if they've built it right in the first place?
Exactly. They shouldn't have to. I mean, you do have to, and here's something to understand, too, and I really want to drive this point home. It's crucial for small businesses. You must keep updating your site, and I don't mean that by just updating content. I mean bringing your site in its entirety up to whatever the latest standards are. I recommend that people refresh their website probably every 3 years. Because it will affect your business. The savvier your customers get, the more important this is going to be. I know it. I go to people's websites who the content is great. They're saying what they need to say. The information is there. It's very clear what their product is. But looking at the site, it looks old, for lack of a better term. It looks old, and it doesn't make me think that this is a contemporary, current business.
Yeah.
So I would say, and the beauty of a CMS, of a content management system, is that it really allows you to do a lot with a little. But I will say this, that just because you have a CMS that you like, don't think that once you've created your site, you're done, and you're not going to deal with this again for 10 years. You do need to, it's like a car, it's like anything that you need to maintain and you need to make sure that you tend to. And you need to every once in a while check in the marketplace and look at what other sites in your industry are doing. That's a really important tool to use. See what's out there, see what other people are doing, and then do the upgrade. But going back to what we said, it shouldn't have to be a complete overhaul if you've built your site the right way from the beginning.
Absolutely.
It will be what we call scalable. In other words, it will allow you to put an addition on the house.
I love that.
Great. Yeah.
And I would agree with you. We could probably talk about that the whole time. But I wanted to talk a little bit about content creation because I think that's equally as important. And some people just have, you know, when it comes to creating content, they're just as lost as creating a website. So let's talk about that a little bit. How can we find, for instance, good content to post to our site? Or should we be finding
okay. The good news is anywhere. Anywhere online, you can find content. The element that you need to commit to is your time. You need to make sure that you set aside time to do the research, but the content is out there. Depending, again, on the nature of your business, depending on how often you've decided you want to refresh your content, spend the time through the resources you've already built, whether it's trade organizations, networking groups, your social media pages. Go through and look what people in your industry are posting. And I say this, it's perfectly okay to share content, while it's not okay to steal content. The good and bad thing about the internet is that stealing and reappropriating is very common and pretty easy to do without legal repercussions. However, it creates a lot of bad blood, which you don't want to do, especially within members of your own community. So what I say is, if you're going to, well, first and foremost, you cannot take any content from a publication or a newsletter or whatever and just cut and paste it and put it on your blog. You must attribute it to the source. You can literally cut and paste, but you must say where you got this content from. Even better, provide a link back to that website. But you should never just take something off of somebody else's personal website, business website, or publication, trade magazine, what have you, and put it on your site. It's a huge no-no. What you can do is link to it. What you can do is let the person know, whoever the original poster of that content, and say, you know, I really like what you've done here. I'd like to share it with my audience. I'm going to put a link to your site from my site. That's a very acceptable way of sharing content. Not only will it give you some interesting news for your site, but it will also create a good relationship with whoever that person is. Because you were upfront about it, you complimented them on the content that's on their site, and you offered to link back to their site, which it's a win-win for everybody involved. So first and foremost, no stealing of content. Second of all, don't think that rules out 95% of the content on the internet. There is a way for you to share content the right way and actually build your viewership in the process. So that's number one. Number two, I would say go on your social media pages, use Facebook and Twitter, and just comb through it. Go through your friends of friends. On Twitter, there's a ton of search functions that you can use to search by subject matter, to search by industry, to search by news topic. And I would search whatever is relevant to you, whatever you're looking for at the moment, and then go through those timelines and click on those people and see what they're posting, see what they're linking to, see what sites they're hosting, and comb through it and just read everything. And you will find tons and tons and tons of good information that way.
And you know what, I agree with you on the, in fact, whenever I use content on any of my sites, I actually don't even use it, unless it says at the bottom, and a lot of sites, and people will notice this, it'll say at the bottom, you're welcome to use this as long as proper attribution or this particular part of it is also included in the article or the content or whatever it is. So, mm-hmm. So that is perfectly acceptable. But I would go so far as to say that I never use content other than that kind of content where it specifically says it blatantly that you can. I always contact the person and say, mm-hmm. I really like this article. Can I use this? In fact, if you would like to make write a new article or change it around a bit, feel free. I'd love to do that too. And quite often people will say, oh, I'd love that. Thank you so much. You can use it as is or here. I'd like to give you a more updated version. So then they become part of my circle. They start watching what I'm doing. It helps you get traffic to your own site, and you become
exactly
these wonderful online relationships. So I think that's a great way. So what other ways can we – so then in addition to finding content, would you say it's easier and better to create content from scratch? Would we be penalized if, say, we use content we find online?
You won't be penalized. Like I said, and like you said, attribution is everything. If you're ever unsure, exactly what you said, contact the person. Just ask. you'll find out right away. I would suggest that people use a mix of original content and sourced content. Just because it's time-consuming to refresh your content all the time if you're creating original content. I mean, if you're writing original blog posts 3 days a week, that's a lot to do in addition to running your own business. I would stick to something manageable, like maybe once a week for a new blog post or twice a month for a new blog post. Perfectly reasonable. In the interim, though, collect interesting, relevant news from around the web, from whatever. I would absolutely say subscribe to other people's blogs and websites. On Facebook, fan pages of other businesses in your community, any newsletters or organizations, networking organizations that you like or belong to. This way, you'll constantly be getting information in those feeds of relevant news that you can use. Again, just attribute. Just post a link that goes back to that person's site or that organization's site, and you're in the clear. And as you pointed out, doing so not only gives you new content, but also creates more relationships. And the next thing you know, you'll be able to ask that other person, hey, would you mind putting a link to my site? And there you start really gaining some traction, really driving traffic back to your site. And another thing that we didn't yet touch on, but it is extremely important when you're creating content, is to think of your keywords in every blog post that you do, and think of your tags that you're going to add to the bottom of each new entry. This may be going a little bit over the head of some people right now, but it's built into all of these content management systems. When you write an original piece of material, you want to research the keywords that you're going to use, and the keywords meaning what are the keywords relevant to your business? Is it direct marketing? Is it online marketing? Is it e-commerce? You know, are you selling sweaters? You want to mention the word sweaters. Just to be thoughtful, think about your business, think about what your goal is, and make it very clear within each one of your posts what you're there for, what your business is. You want to drive the point home. Another thing CMS allows for is for you to add tags to the bottom of every new post. That's another way of just basically summarizing the keywords that you're going to find in that blog post. It doesn't mean much to the reader, but it means a lot to the search engine, which is, again, what is going to be helping to drive traffic to your website. You're probably familiar with that, Heidi.
Well, I am, and I would just like to say this, and it's something it took me a long time to get the aha, and because I'm not a coder or anything, I don't do it. I love writing, so I write a lot, but I often avoid or I stop at the writing step, and now I'm really, since I write 5 blogs and also guest write for several and also write for a couple of clients, not too many, just a couple, that's enough. I've learned the importance of those keywords and tags because I've noticed by using them, and by the way, I think you can tell me if I'm right on this or wrong, you can go back to those posts that you've done before and actually add the keywords, et cetera, later. Even though they didn't do you any good at the time, they might do you good down the line, and it will help
absolutely
in your rankings. So I recommend to my clients, anytime you have, or my members in particular, anytime you write content for your site, if you've got a lot of content from the past, just take time a little bit here and there and go back and do a few of those things that you've already written and to see if the keywords are still relevant and still the kind of keywords you would like the way people are looking for you, how they're finding you. And
exactly.
That's, I think, the other important thing. And you'll be amazed at how much better your website will be found. Because the people who don't use them, the search engines are having, you know, it takes them a lot longer to find them, right?
Of course. And that's the number two question I get is, how come when I Google myself, I can't see my website? Or I'm buried in the fifth page of search results. Well, because what are you doing to help the search engines find you? And again, that's goes back to the point that you don't just build a website and then let it sit there for 10 years and think, well, okay, I'm done. I have my website's up. Why isn't it generating business for me? Because like anything, it's the time you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And part of that is what you just said, is using your keywords. And take if you've got existing content, you know, you're just finding out about this, but you've been maintaining your site for a year, it's okay. Go back, add some keywords, add some tags. Your content is still relevant. But now you're making the job of the search engine that much more easy, and they're going to find you not only more easily, but more often.
Absolutely. So then let's talk a little bit about, I know you mentioned some places. What other places can we search for content to use in addition to, say, other people's websites, blogs, Twitter, et cetera?
I mean, I am constantly on the lookout on NPR, the New York Times, Media Week, depending, again, on what your business is, the trade publications that are relevant to your business. You should be reading those often anyway, but maybe read them now with a different eye and an eye towards pulling some of that content. If you are in an area or involved with networking groups or nonprofit organizations, go to their site. Use content from their site. If it relates to you, even if it's not directly related to your business, share with your customers that you're a part of this charity or that you to volunteer your time at this organization. It just helps create a fuller picture of who you are and what your brand is about. And I would just take a look. It's funny because we don't do this. Take a look at your life. Take a look at your hobbies, your interests, things that you do on your quote-unquote off time, and then look for all the media that's relevant to that. And like I said, sit down and comb through all of that information. You will find that you'll be sitting at your computer for 8 hours. You'll look up and go, oh, my God, I haven't eaten. I haven't gone to the bathroom. I can't believe how much information is out there. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing because all of this stuff, for the most part, is free, and it's there. It's just knowing where to find it. And, again, people will have to get their sea legs a little bit, so to speak. But once you do and you start having, you know, bookmarked sites and favorited sites and subscribing to RSS feeds, there will actually be too much content for you to keep up with.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my favorite content search engine, my favorite place to search for content is, of course, that famous Google, Google.
Uh-huh.
And YouTube. YouTube is another one.
Yeah.
I heard recently that YouTube was the number two search engine in the world. More people search for content on YouTube than any other site other than Google. So that's cool to know.
Absolutely. And you know what? Use your smartphone. I mean, I hope that everybody who's running a business, especially an online business, is using a smartphone as well. Use that thing. You know, you pay for it every month. Use it. Take pictures. Take video. Share. You can get an article on your BlackBerry and share it with your Facebook account. Use it. You know, don't be afraid to do it. And if you haven't really examined what you can do with it and then the applications that you can download, do it now because it will save you time, effort, and energy. And will allow you to do things on the go. I mean, you won't even have to be home. You won't even have to be sitting in front of your computer in order to update your site.
Excellent. So then let's talk a little bit about some tips for using content to drive traffic to our site. I know we've talked a little bit about this. Anything else you want to share?
About creating content to drive traffic?
Using content to drive traffic to your site. In other words,
again, the frequency with which you post is going to have a lot to do with it. Your keywords are going to have a lot to do with it. The tags you put are going to have a lot to do with it. And again, when you do create content, share it across all platforms. Post it on your Facebook, post it on your Twitter, post it on your LinkedIn. It's not spam if you do it the right way. I know people are afraid of spamming, but when the content is fresh, put it out there. Don't do it all day for 3 days, but put it out there, I say. When it's fresh, you can do it twice a day for 24 hours. You'll see a result.
Absolutely. So how can we use social media in our content management strategy?
First of all, everybody who has a Facebook and Twitter account for their business should have those buttons on their website. Should be on your either on your homepage or on your blog page, wherever your landing page is, wherever you want people to go first. Don't put it on your contact page if that's where you people go third or fourth. Put your buttons up there. It's very easy to do yourself. You don't need your IT guy to do it. Your content management system will allow you to embed widgets, which is, So a widget is an interactive box. So basically you can put a Facebook widget on your site, which will literally show every time you post a new update on Facebook. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. You can simply put the Facebook icon on your page that will drive people directly to your profile. You can do whatever you choose, whatever you feel comfortable with, but the bottom line is you can do it yourself with a CMS. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, remember also that if you have your Facebook linked to your website, remember then that you're posting professional information. If you're going to link your customers to a Facebook page, don't have baby pictures and dog pictures and, you know, pictures of you dancing with margaritas as what they're going to see when they land on your Facebook page. I recommend everybody creates a Facebook business page. That's another thing. You're able to do that yourself. Give yourself an afternoon. Play with Facebook. Figure out how to create a Facebook page for your business. Then drive all your clients there if you want to keep your personal profile personal.
Great. So then what other resources do you recommend, Vanessa, to our listeners who might want to learn more about content creation and CMS?
You know, like you said, Google it. You can literally Google your exact question and you'll get an answer. Just for this, for today's interview, I said, let me see what's going to come up now when I Google most popular content management systems. And you know what? I got a whole page of completely relevant, helpful links. So when you're ready and you're deciding, okay, I'm meeting with a web designer or a web developer, and I want to be a little bit more educated before I go into that meeting, just literally Google your questions, and you'll find tons of feedback and information and assistance. I mean, it's literally that simple nowadays that you can find almost any question, any answer to your question online with minimal effort. And anything beyond that, I mean, if you really feel overwhelmed, and this is, again, where people like I come in, where you come in, when you really feel that you're overwhelmed or you're fortunate in that you're just so busy with work and you have a lot of clients or customers, you feel it's more important that you maintain those relationships and you're the face of your company, hire somebody. It's money well spent. Hire somebody to handle this so that it gets done the right way, and that you can relax and you don't feel overwhelmed and you don't feel pulled in 10 different directions. You know, most small business people at this point in time are trying to scale back. They're trying to minimize their payroll. But I always tell people, if you can't do the web right, don't do it. It's not more important to just have something up. It's more important to wait and have nothing up. Wait until you can actually give it some time and attention. I'd rather see people not have a website, just create a Facebook business page in 15 minutes and have that up and say website coming soon, than to say, well, I only have $200 and I'm going to hire, you know, my son's friend to put up a website. Don't do that. Save that money. Put it away. Continue saving until you have a decent budget to go ahead and build a really lovely, well-thought-out site.
I totally agree. And I also agree with you that outsourcing the things that you don't like to do, you're not good at, and also, even if you have the time, sometimes it's so frustrating. I tell clients all the time, and I'm sure you come across this, I would rather hire someone to do something and pay them an hour's worth of work or whatever the agreed upon thing is, say that it would be an hour work for them to do something, than me spend 3 hours of my time, because people don't often figure out what their own time is worth. And once you know how much you're worth an hour, then you can figure out if you want to outsource or you want to do it yourself. So there are a lot of people, I like doing it myself only because I want to learn it so that I can share it with others and advise them on the right way to go. But I don't do a lot of it myself anymore. It's just I did it to learn. I know a lot about Joomla. I'm not an expert at it yet, but I know a lot about it because I wanted one site that I could be proficient in one system other than WordPress. If you ask me about WordPress, I'm an expert in WordPress. I've been using WordPress for about 4 years now, and I really think I know as much as anybody out there who's professing to be an expert. But I don't build websites, so I don't do that for clients, but I can help them know what to ask for and what to look for. So tell us a little bit about the services that you offer your clients and how you can help them, Vanessa.
Sure. I mean, what I do is I'll basically work with a small business owner anywhere from this is the first website that you're building for your business, or you have a website and you know that it's time to refresh it. I come in, I evaluate the web presence you have going on right now, and then make suggestions for you. How can we improve this? How can we streamline it? Are there functions that you're not using? Are there tools and systems that could be helping you that you simply don't know about? Is your design outdated? Does your logo need a refresh? And then we go from there. We make a list of all the areas that we think could use improvement, and then we tackle them and say, well, okay, I want to move forward on this, or I have to wait on that, And then we just look at what we're going to be doing. If the client has a team that they've already worked with that they like, I can work with that team and say, okay, well, graphic designer A, we need to refresh this logo image. We need to bring it up to speed, or we just want to change the colors. And I can work with that. It's basically project management from that point on. However many hands are however many cooks are in the kitchen, let's say, I kind of manage, make sure everybody stays on time, on budget, and is delivering what they said they would. And like you said, people, this isn't everybody's strength. They either can't do it, they don't like it, or they really just don't have time. Their time is better spent tackling another area of their business. Doesn't mean it doesn't need to get done, and you can only put it on the back burner for so long. So that's what I do. And then once we kind of get stylistically the ducks in a row, we look at what is the content that you have up there? Is it being updated often enough? And are you going to be the one to do it? Do you need someone to kind of revise your mission statement, revise your bio, rewrite your product description? I do all that. So I can kind of be as full service or as a la carte, as you need me to be. And like you said, I'd rather see somebody hire me for 5 hours and save themselves 3 months worth of work than kill themselves and frustrate themselves and tear their hair out and be up till 3 o'clock in the morning, not being productive. So those are the services I should say that I offer clients. And I tell people too, no business is too big or too small. Email me, ask me your questions. Usually, I really haven't yet met a person that I absolutely couldn't help.
So that's fantastic. So then, what are you currently working on?
I am currently working on. What a loaded question. I'm always working on about 5 things. I have clients like you that I do kind of regular content updates for, blog posts, social media account management, that kind of stuff, everything that we've just talked about here. I'm constantly getting referrals from people kind of asking me what I just talked to your audience about for the past 45 minutes, which is where do I begin, what CMS should I use? What project management system should I use? And that's a whole other conversation. How often should I be updating? Honestly, all the stuff that we just talked about, I consult with small businesses and nonprofits on a regular basis. I enjoy it. I really like to help people. I like to see people take control over the online component of their business, rather rely on developers or designers that you can't get a hold of. Worse yet, people who are not even in this country, you start throwing in time differences and language barriers, and things just become a mess. I've seen it time and again. As close as you can keep your online profile to home, the better. So those are the things I work on. I am always and first and foremost a writer, so I continue to work on my own writing projects on the side as well. I maintain my blog. I host networking groups for professional women here in LA. I'm a busy gal. But I love it.
Nicole?
Feel free. Anybody can contact me, and I'll always try to help.
So then how can our listeners contact you, Vanessa?
You can email me. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I'm in LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. Find me there. Or you can email me directly at VanessaTorres360@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you to our listeners for being with us for Content Management for Small Business. Be sure to check out Women in E-Commerce for more great teleclasses like this. Go to www.wecai.org. As our mission is to help women do more business on the web. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Vanessa. Did I lose you?
You did for a little bit, but now I can hear
hi.
You just fine.
I was going, where's Vanessa? I thought, okay. Well, anyway, I don't know. For some reason, my phone cut out twice today, and it's never happened. So I hope it's, who knows. Squirrely Friday the 13th. My favorite day of the year, by the way. Thank you
right.
for being with us today. Thank you. You are fantastic.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh, and I'm sure that our audience is going to get a lot out of it. I take lots of notes when I listen to my guest experts. I just happened that I knew a few of the things that you were talking about, so I was very excited because I feel, I like when I know stuff, and I also like when I learn new things, like the project management. I definitely have to have you come back, and we have to talk about that. That's something I'm not really other than doing it myself. So Vanessa, thank you again. If there's anybody on the line and you have any questions for Vanessa, we have a few moments, maybe one or two, because we're really at the 4 o'clock hour. Vanessa, would you be willing to answer a question if anybody has one?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, good. I didn't know if you'd have time. Okay, so then if you're on the line and you would like to ask Vanessa a question, hit *6.
Muted.
Okay, I've just unmuted everybody. So if anybody's still on the line and you have any questions, feel free to talk up now.
Let's see.
That's one of the reasons I do the recording and then I stop it, because it's oftentimes people have left by the time the show is over. They don't know that we're going to stop and ask questions at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I try to say that
mm-hmm.
at the beginning before we start the recording, but people, when they come in late, so then we end up with no questions, and then I have to end up editing it out, so I just kind of changed the format. But anyway, Vanessa, thank you again. I will send you a copy of it when we get it online. It'll probably be Monday or Tuesday. We'll post the link to it, and after I do a little bit of editing. So thank you so much for your time. I'll have to tell Ellen how great you were, because you're great.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. And feel free to join Women in E-Commerce if you have a chance. We'd love to have you be part of our community. We have a free membership, free basic membership. And when my guests who take time to be on our calls join, I always upgrade them to platinum for a year. So feel free to take the opportunity to join, and I'll upgrade you. And hopefully, you'll get something out of our organization as well. Okay?
Oh, I'm sure I will, and I will join. Thanks again, Heidi.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good day. Bye bye.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Hello.